And when I signed up, I was like, I've done this before. When I taught the boys' Sunday school class at Calvary Bible, there's many times I'd have something prepared, or in the youth group, I'd have something prepared, and someone would come in, ask a question, I'd just pull up my book, and like, all right, new topic, here we go. And we'd come up, and it'd probably be the best lesson ever. Yeah. You know, or we'd just break out, have a time of testimonies or something, so... Like, this is just a great way to get myself out of it. Hopefully let God use me, use all the other men that are speaking. And then trying to decide verse or topic which was better, and I still don't know. But anyways, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What a fantastic verse to start with. I've really been praying for certain verses, and this was not one of them. But what a way to start it off. I am not a preacher by any means, but I'm smart enough to break down a verse. So up to the first comma, but ye shall receive power. Where do we get the power from? We get it from God. Where do I get any kind of power that I have, which is very little, is from the Word of God, from God Himself. The only way I can be comfortable up here speaking is because of God. As Pastor read one of the verses this morning, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Jeff Carpenter, at the pastor's fellowship that was held here several months ago, taught on that. And it hit me upside the head like a load of bricks. How often do you think, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. And I tell you what, we sang shortly after that, I could hardly play. Because the whole time I'm thinking, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I up here being an impersonator? Right. Am I doing something for God, or am I doing it for my own glory? Right. And I struggled. I really struggled. And before we came, I prayed before we left the house that God would use me as a tool just to bring forth the message. And I pray that I'm doing that justice. But ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How we'd get power before the Holy Ghost comes upon you, I'm not going to go against the Bible. I would think it'd be the other way, but I'm ignorant and not intelligent. So apparently God gives us the power, kind of makes a house for us, and then the Holy Ghost comes on. Again, someone could probably explain this 10 times better than I can. But ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. God picked several different specific locations to list. And we tend to look at those as being super important. They're over in Israel area, and that is where all this great stuff happens. But then at the end, kind of like at the end of creation, where he says, I made the stars also. He focuses on the stuff we find important. And then he shows us that it's really not any more important than everything that we deem non-important. So where is our Jerusalem? Where is our Judea? And where is our Samaria? In the uttermost part of the earth. So once we receive power from God, once we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we are commanded to go out and be witnesses unto God in Seneca Falls, in Geneva, in Hannibal, in, I don't know where everyone else lives, in Auburn. Everywhere we go, every morning on the radio, there's a radio program about transforming every workplace to be a mission field. Amen. Is our workplace a mission field? Mm-hmm. I pray that we're all trying that. But to stick on topic and verse, I'm going to end so I don't go over.
Very good, Doug. All right, who's next? Other Doug. We got the two Dougs first right off the bat. All right, topic or verse?
Topic.
Can I give you a little quiz at the end and let's see if you can pick out what my topic was?
Excuse me. I'm like Doug, the other Doug. My blood pressure has been high. I had to go to the doctor's the first time this week up here, and my blood pressure was sky high. And he says, "You had any stress in your life?" I says, "Yeah, I've got to preach Sunday night." So I wanted to go first so I could sit and relax and enjoy everybody else's messages and preaching. Praise the Lord for that. If you turn with me to Matthew, let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And we'll see where the Lord's going to take us. We'll start off with Matthew 3 and verse 6. The Lord says here in verse 6, "And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. And I think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." I want to ask the Lord to help tonight. Our Father, we come to you tonight in that wonderful and in that precious name of Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful that you've given us that wonderful gift of eternal life, given us salvation. Lord, you went through the misery and the suffering just to die for us, as that song said. And Lord, we're thankful tonight for that. We're gathered together tonight, Lord, to praise you and to worship you. And Lord, we're just thankful that we can come together in a free land. And we pray for our country. We pray right now, Lord, that you would loose my mind, that you would give us a message that would touch our hearts, that we would be able to come closer to you. I pray, Lord, that every word that is coming forth from my mouth will be sanctioned by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would glorify you in everything that we say and everything that we do. And Lord, we ask and pray for these blessings in your precious name. Amen. We see here in the scriptures that the Lord was coming forth and John was baptizing, and then we see that the Lord came, and as he came, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And Jesus set forth at that point an example for each of us that we need to come to him and to be baptized. As the pastor said, we have a baptism coming up. And there's many in the church probably today that have been saved and are coming to church but haven't been baptized. Baptism is an ordinance, right? And we need to follow those ordinances, not so that we receive salvation, because salvation comes prior to baptism. Many years ago, I was baptized into another religion, and they said I had to be baptized by them because they had the authority, and only them had the authority. But I tell you, today, they do not have the authority. The authority lies in God's Word and through the preaching of God's Word. And I bear testimony of that today, that we are children of God and we need to obey his ordinances. And one of those is, of course, baptism. Let's go to Matthew 28:29 and see what the Lord will instruct us there. Matthew 28:29. I'm not like Doug. I've been saved. I've been preaching and teaching for many, many years. But every time I teach and preach, I don't preach from notes. I preach from a manuscript. And with that manuscript in front of me, I have the confidence that, you know, I can go by the Holy Spirit, can lead and guide me here and there, but I can always go back. Tonight, I'm relying strictly on the Holy Spirit, and I just pray earnestly that everything that I do say tonight will bring us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, I forgot what verse, 28, 19. 16. I have some notes here that I always keep in my Bible for situation like there. And then I guess this is like the Lord's telling the disciples, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. As we see, as Doug just pointed out, after we get saved, we get that power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord was commissioned his disciples to go forth and to baptize everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. The Lord will save you. The Lord says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And folks, many years ago when I was baptized into Mormonism, that wasn't the case. I didn't have to do that. I had to be baptized by the authority of the Mormon Church. And only them. And then after I got saved, let me back up a little bit. After I got into Mormonism, I progressed up into the Mormon Church, and then we were taught that only through the Mormon Church can you receive what Mormons call salvation, and that's through their ordinances of being baptized by their authority, and then also receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost after you're baptized, and then living all the laws and principles of the Lord, including paying your tithing, living a moral, chaste life, and then going through the Mormon temple and getting baptized in the Mormon temple for those that are already dead, and then getting married in the temple for time and all eternity. And this was what you had to do in the Mormon church. And then you had, of course, in go into the Mormon temple, you had to be baptized, and then you had to be living all these commandments. You had to be interviewed every so often by your bishop, who is like your pastor. And then he would ask you these pointing questions. You know, are you living a moral life? Are you paying a full tithe? Pastor doesn't take me in the office and look me in the eye and say, are you tithing? You know, we're doing it through the Spirit because we've been baptized by the Lord and baptized into his church. And now to try to get back on track, after I was in the Mormon church for so long, I had to live what they said. You had to live what they said. There's a scripture in Mormonism that says once you receive the priesthood, that you can't go back on that priesthood. If you leave that priesthood, you will never have any forgiveness of sins in this world or the worlds to come. And that gives me goosebumps today, because that's one scripture that causes so many people to stay locked up in the occult of Mormonism. Because to further yourself in a Mormon church and go to the temple and be married for time and eternity and progress, you have to have the Melchizedek priesthood. And that's called the oath and covenant of the holy priesthood. And if you go back on that priesthood, that once you receive the Mormon priesthood, you'll never have forgiveness of sin. Can you understand why it's been a miracle why I left Mormonism? It's a miracle that anyone leaves Mormonism because of that. I know bishops today in the Mormon church that will not leave, but they know the church is false because of that. And also, before you get baptized in a Mormon church, you have to go through a series of lessons. Like you said, they take you through these little series of brainwashing, actually, until you progress. And one of those is that you have to get the Mormon priesthood, and then you have to know Joseph Smith and the whole story. But once you're in there, they get you captured, and they want you to believe in their book, like the Book of Mormon. In the Book of Mormon, it asks you they'll ask you to pray. It's actually in the Book of Mormon. One of the books there is called Moroni. It's in the 10th chapter, verse 13. It says, when you receive these things, ask God if these things are not true. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, God will manifest those truths unto you, and you shall know the truth of all things by the power of the Holy Ghost. That sounds pretty neat. I pray to the Lord that everything that come forth from my mouth tonight would be glorifying God. I'm not quoting those scriptures not to glorify God, because that's a false scripture, and I want you to know that these things are false, because you don't know if something is true by getting a burning in your bosom. That's not true. That's depends on what you eat for supper. But it's also, it's a reverse psychology, because when you're taking a false scripture, you have to have some kind of thinking that scripture in, excuse me, in first place is some somewhat true. So you turn it all the way around. You're basing your truth that you find on a false thing anyway. And then in James it tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now the Mormons use that to help you to make you believe in the Book of Mormon. But the Lord there is not asking for knowledge and truth. He's asking for wisdom because he's already talking to those that are saved. So, you can see how reverse psychology they're using. But what I wanted to get at is that even after I left the Mormon church and I got saved, I joined a good Bible-believing fundamental Baptist church. But, we say but, but the pastor there, he said, I have to be in his church to get saved. I couldn't go anywhere else, He says, once you're bloom where you blossom, scripture saying. He held that literally, that you couldn't never leave his church. And I just felt trapped. I felt like I was back in Mormonism. And so I started searching the scriptures, and we found another church that helped us with that. Let's go up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Whoops, I'm not even in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If thy foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all of one body, we were one body. We say back there, for we are by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Several years ago, I went to a camp meeting, and they did that same thing. They had different preachers come all week long. And to me, it was like a competition. Each preacher got up, and I was fairly, new, being saved, and it was the first time I ever went to a camp meeting, and it just seemed to me like preachers had competition. Who could really preach the, both hot fire and brimstone? But I love this church here. We're not in competition tonight. We're here to share God's word as each of us get up. And I hope and pray that we are, as we all become baptized into one body, that we can glorify the Lord and that we can get in his word daily, as the pastor said. This has just been wonderful to me, that I've been able to get into God's word daily now with that little reading book that we have. And that not only that, that keeps me in God's word. And it's very, very, very important for us to stay in God's word. Not knowing God's word is what got me into Mormonism in the first place. So if you know God's word, you can test the spirits. And now that you're a member, I would like to say this, though. After I left the Mormon church and I became a member of the Baptist church, it took me 4 years after that to get saved. I was too prideful. I wasn't going to let a Baptist preacher tell me about Jesus Christ until the Lord finally broke me down. And praise God, he did. And I got saved, gloriously saved, saved from all my sins. And he said, whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It said, call upon the name of the Lord. It didn't say call upon perfect theology of the Godhead. I don't know then what the perfect knowledge was, and I certainly don't know what the perfect knowledge of the Godhead now is, but I know the name of Jesus Christ, and I know he died for me, and he died for each one of you. And if there's anyone sitting out there tonight that claims to be a member, but you know down deep you haven't been saved, don't let the pride keep you from getting saved, because we have no promise of tomorrow. Tonight could be your last breath. And you would spend eternity in hell. I pray that whatever I did say maybe touch somebody's heart tonight, that will draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's by Him I am saved. And all my sins, I wouldn't have time to express all my sins, but they all been forgotten. And Jesus decides not to remember my sins. Amen. And He decides not to remember your sins once you accept Him as your Savior. So I pray that we may become closer to the Lord each day. And I thank the Lord tonight for saving my soul and being here with you all. Because I love you and my wife. We both love the church here. Thank you. I hope I what's a message of some consolation and a glorification to our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that was baptism, even though I hope I didn't get too sidetracked. But,
All right, so he picked baptism. Amen. All right, who's next? All right, Brennan Purdy. Verse or topic? Verse.
Psalm 11, verse 3. Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, I've read this verse a few times, but never had to preach on it. But what are our foundations? Our foundation is the Word of God. If you quit reading the Word of God, you fall into sin. And I know one thing. Earlier this year, I was out away from church doing work. Had to work the weekends, work Sundays and stuff like that, and I missed church drastically, and I was gone 3 weeks, 3 Sundays in a row, and it just, I was able to read my Bible and see the services on Facebook, but it was not like being in church. It just breaks my heart to be away from here, not amongst the brethren, and seeing people here. And the thing with COVID, too, what a mess. But the foundation is the Word of God. Sometimes when if we try to be righteous, we have to be in the Word of God. And that's the only thing that keeps us from, it can keep us from destruction. It gives us a power through the Holy Spirit. And let's go up here and read this. And let's look at Psalm 11, verse 1. We'll start with verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, and they that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple, and the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. I just thank God for this word, His word. I too have been using the reading material, trying to stay on top of the daily readings and stuff, and I find in my life that when I miss a morning or I'm out on the road and I don't have my reading material with me, you know, it's tough to do that. I'm glad that we have, these silly cell phones have all these apps on them, and we can, and I am thankful for those apps. It's like the tools that we need. You know, if we're away, you're going to have your phone with you. If you got the Bible app on your phone, you can always read the Bible.
Amen.
Wherever you're at.
Amen.
And I am very thankful for that. It costs some money, but it's well worth the ching to get, keep the word in your hand and in your heart. And just I thank God for his word, and just thank him for this time.
Amen. Amen.
There's a lot of things you could say would be a foundation. Word of God, church. Church is a foundation. Jesus Christ died for the church, gave his life for it. Prayer is a foundation. There's a lot of different things. And sometimes when I read this verse, I also think about our country. If the foundations of this country are torn apart, which it appears that that's happening all the time, even what can the righteous do? But that was good, Brennan. Appreciate that. Appreciate it. Both Doug's and Brennan. We've got Jeff, Judd, and Paul. Who's next? Jeff, Judd, or Paul? Paul. Come on, Paul. Topic or verse?
Which one, Bob?
I don't know.
Topic or verse?
I'll take topic.
Topic, all right.
Let's see.
This one?
Yep, right there. That is a really good one. Don't know what it is, but it's a good one. Because they're all good. I picked them out.
What happens if you can't read it? Can I preach on? I can preach on anything, right? I can read it. I don't need glasses. Eternal security. Eternal security. What's that mean? Eternal security. Saved forever, right? Once saved, always saved. But how many times have we doubted our salvation? Even saved, I've been saved 12 years. One of my prayers when I'm laying in bed before I fall asleep is, Lord, things ain't right. I'm telling you the truth now. If things ain't right, God, listen, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm either going to be in heaven, right? If I'm trusting in the word of God, I'm going to be in heaven. We're talking about eternal security, being sure, 100% sure that we're saved, and I know that. But I have a filthy flesh as well as everybody else does, and I just ask God, if I'm not... I'm letting God, can I be for real? Because I surely do not want to wake up in the other. I'm trusting in you, God, and what you did for me upon the cross. I think it's in John chapter 10, I think John chapter 10. Pastor's preaching about Psalms 23, about sheep and then the shepherd. John 10 deals with Jesus saying that he is the door, that he is the good shepherd. And down to verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, that many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you. And what are those next words? And ye believe not. Ye believe not. You did not believe what? The words of Jesus Christ. See, look, if you do not believe the words that Jesus said, if you do not believe the Bible, if you do not believe in the life, the death, and the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you do not have eternal life. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, John chapter 1, amen. And in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. In John chapter 1 it says that God, or that Jesus is the Word. And the Word and the flesh, it dwelt among us. If you do not believe those things, you cannot have eternal life. Jesus is saying here, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. Are ye a sheep of Jesus Christ? As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you are a sheep, you're going to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. You are going to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible is telling us this right here. And in verse 28, eternal life, right? And I give unto them eternal life. Is that just for a little bit of time? It's eternal. It's for how long? Forever. Does it ever stop? So once you get saved, are you always saved? Can we have eternal security? And they shall never, what?
Perish.
And what does that word perish mean in your King James Bible? To go where? Can we count on the Word of God that if ye believed on the Word, if you believed on Jesus Christ, ye have what? Eternal life. You have eternal security. Why? Because the Bible says it. Therefore, it should settle it. But as I said, we have these fleshly things in our lives, the world, the flesh, the devil, that just kind of oppress us at times, that cast doubt upon us.
Yeah, amen.
Brennan preached about the foundation. Amen? We got to have a good foundation to defeat those stinking thoughts. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot. There's no way, no how. When the Bible's telling us here that when we got saved, right, we were in Christ's hand, and therefore God takes His hand and puts it around all that. And the Bible tells us, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. Greater than everything that you think right now, if you got salvation or not, if you have eternal security or not, you have it. There's no way around it. I believe it's in 1 John, right? First John chapter 5. So if you're unsure if you have eternal security, go to 1 John chapter 5. Go to John chapter 10. 1 John chapter 5 says, and this is the record that God hath given unto us, what? Eternal life. And this life is in where? In who? In His Son. Not in what we think. Right?
Right?
Not in what we think, but in His Son, in what Jesus Christ did. Not what you and I did. We just simply believed. John chapter 10 says, Jesus saying, and they believed not, but ye believed. So therefore, you have eternal life. In verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. Verse 13, these things have I what?
Written.
Pastor's always preaching about reading your Bible. You may have some eternal security issues, a lot of them, if you're not in the Word of God and reading it. Because I know when I struggle with it, God show me. And without fail, God always brings up a verse and says, look it, you are my child. You have nothing to worry about. Go out there and preach the Word of God and let me take care of everything else.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Amen.
You want me to put that back in?
No, you keep it. Keep it for a souvenir. Somebody else may grab it and then have to preach the same thing. Very good. Been good tonight. All right. Judd or Jeff? Why? You'll be last. Okay, Jeff. Father-in-law spoke. Yep. You do what he's told. What he tells you. Verse or topic?
I'm going to go verse.
Verse.
I'm too much of a coward to do topic.
Good topics. And good verses.
All right. Well, no better way to jump into it than Psalm 119, verse 9. I got to say, and those of you guys that have heard me know that this is definitely outside of my comfort zone, which is kind of fun, but also extremely petrifying, because I like to be prepared. I like to have, you know, Pastor Gus, the 3 points in a poem, you know, you have it all outlined and ready to rock and roll and do what you got to do. And now I'm trusting the Holy Spirit and what little bit of knowledge I got up in here to hopefully be a blessing to you guys. So let's go to Psalm 119 and verse 9. And the Word of God says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Again, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, it's good to be in your house here tonight, Lord. I thank you for those you brought out. I thank you for the men that have preached, Lord. I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask tonight, Lord, that you would just continue to be with the messages, Lord. I pray that you would be with me, hide me behind your cross, Lord. Empty me of self. Fill me with the Spirit, Lord, that your word would go forth, Lord, and that we just receive a blessing from it. Lord, again, you're so good to us. Thank you for all you've done tonight and all you're going to do. And we just ask, Lord, again, if there's somebody listening or there's somebody here that doesn't know you personally as their Lord and Savior, that tonight would be that blessed night of salvation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it's almost funny because it seems to be a very cliche word. You hear it all the time, especially at passage, especially at youth rallies. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, we know that as parents, it's our job to instruct our children, right? We have to teach them what's right and what's wrong. And we know I struggle with that sometimes. I try to teach my son how to grow up and be a better man than I am. Not to be a mini me, but to be a good him. To follow the Lord, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord. And one of the things I try to explain to him is that I'm not just teaching you from what I know. I'm teaching you from what I'm learning from the Bible and what God says. And it's not always fun when you read God's word and God takes that 2x4 and cracks you in the back of the head and says, hey, dummy, you're doing something stupid. Clean up. Well, that's how we're going to learn. Where are we going to be able to clean our way? You know, the word of God says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can run around and tout everything that we do saying, look at me, look at me. We live in a world full of that today. You pull out your phone and you look on social media, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, I can't even keep up with all of them that are out there. What is it always about? It's the selfie generation. It's a look at me, I'm serving the poor. You know, oh, gratuitous Photoshop of me, you know, feeding a homeless person or handing a truck. You know, it's look what I've done, because in everybody's eyes, we want to see righteous. We want to seem holier than thou because it makes us feel good about ourselves, right? But think on the other hand, how many of these people go home at the end of the night and they're absolutely miserable? They go to something other than the Word of God and go to prayer because that's what they're doing to try to cleanse their way. They're hoping that they can get by in the afterlife and leave a legacy based off of what they did. Not so much of what the Lord said. We've heard tonight about eternal security, about the Word of God. How are we going to be able to cleanse our way? How are we going to know how to walk the straight and narrow. It's right in front of us. The Word of God. Is it always, like I said, guys, it's not always fun to read the Word. And I appreciate the honesty of the guys tonight that, you know, it is hard sometimes to stay in this every day. You know, pastor's been preaching about distractions. We get up, we do this, we do that. And next thing you know, as much as we want to be in the Word of God, next thing you know, you're going to bed and passing out and saying, man, I didn't get in my Bible. Lord, forgive me. You know, because we live in a world full of distractions. What? That's constantly dirtying ourselves. We're defiling our flesh in the world. And we might not be doing anything sinful. But because we carry around our flesh, we're still stuck in this world. We're still going to get caught in not necessarily sinful habits, but things that pull us away from the Word of God. And I believe it was one of the old-time preachers. Was it Spurgeon or Moody said that what keeps me away from my Bible is sin. You know, and it doesn't inherently mean that, you know, listening to the radio or anything like that might be sinful, but if it's pulling our distractions away from the Word of God, then that's almost becoming a mini idol, and that's what we live in, is a world of idols.
Right.
And I hate to admit it, you know, there's times where I've had to sit back and say, is that an idol in my life? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's hard to swallow when you sit back and you take stock of where you put your time, where you put your energy, where you put your efforts. You know, for men, and especially, I'm admitting this myself, as a newer hunter, getting prepared and getting ready to go out, that can become an idol. We focus too much time, attention, and energy on what is it going to take to be out in the woods? What's it going to take to bring in a good harvest this year? What are we going to be doing? You know, believe it or not, the church itself, the ministry can become an idol. Because you're always worrying about what's the next event? What's the next message? What's it? All these things that a preacher, a pastor, a family is responsible for in the ministry, those become the idol in that, you know, like pastor, I appreciate that he gives us this time because he himself needs to be filled up. And when you focus so much on those, sometimes even in the ministry, your attention gets pulled away from God himself. And it's the message, the outreach, but there's no room and no time for the Holy Spirit. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God itself, you know, what's that old acronym? BIBLE, basic instructions before leaving earth. This is what we have to follow. You want to know what, you know, whether we want to admit it or not, the times have changed, circumstances have changed, but people haven't changed. If you want to know how to go through it, take a look at some of the folks in the Bible. You're having a rough day, take a look at Job's life. And the catastrophes that Job went through, losing his family, losing his livestock, losing everything that he had. And sitting there being a man of God going, I don't know what to do. But I'm just going to sit here and take it. You know, imagine how he felt. You know, and we complain about the littlest of things. You know, how do we handle that? Or you know, our perfect example being Jesus. You know, we think we had a bad day. Look at what he went through. Amen. And that wasn't just because he felt like it. He did that for me. He did that for you. And, you know, I'm not against revering our heroes, but nobody can come close to what Jesus has done for me. You know, I would willingly say it. I would love to say it. I would willingly lay my life down for anybody in this room or anybody that needed me to do so. However, when the time comes, we don't know what that's, you know, that's not the average mindset. And yet here Jesus Christ was 2,000 years ago looking into eternity future, picturing every one of us in this room and saying, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you. Even a wretch like me. And if you guys knew me before I got into church, I wasn't a good dude. You know, I had my share of sin. And I still do because the Bible calls us a work in progress. It's a continual cleansing. You know, yes, we're washed under the blood. Yes, we're sanctified by Jesus Christ. But we're also a work in progress. Look at many of the men in Scripture who were saved, born again, but still with open mouth, insert foot. How many times did Peter screw up? And Peter is one of the greatest guys we know. The Apostle Paul, look at his early life, you know, how he was as a Pharisee, tried to do the religious thing, and then even after he gets saved, he said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. We don't know what it was, but he's openly admitting, hey, I'm still a work in progress. And what Paul would tell us, even today, as our pastor tells us, follow me as I follow Christ. Not follow me for me. You know, the pulpit isn't a place for any of us. It's the Word of God. This is where the Word of God is taught and preached. And we've gotten away from that today. Not us here, but many churches today, to the point where I saw a statistic that blew my mind the other day, where it was like 50 to 60% of 18 to like, I can't even, it's the adult era, believe that Jesus Christ isn't the only way to heaven. And they're saying that these are born-again Christians saying this. There's a problem with that picture. If you're saying you're born again, then you're going to church, right? In theory. And if you're in church, what are you hearing preached if not the Word of God? This is God's house where God's Word is taught. What did they do in the temple? They would go and hear God's Word read. And then Jesus and the apostles would stand up and say, all right, I'm going to preach the gospel to you. That's what matters here is the gospel. How wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word, the gospel. The bottom line is the gospel is the only way to salvation. It's through Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can guarantee we have eternal life. It's the only way we can guarantee that we're going to grow. Because in our own efforts, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to fall flat on our face. Scripture even tells us a just man falls 7 times, gets back up. That means that don't beat yourself up when you fall. Get up, dust it off, and go again. And keep going, and keep going. Little bit, you know, we look so much at the big picture instead of looking at the small gains. And when you look at the small victories, and you hit, you know, just like on a football field, you know, football season coming up. I know many of us in here watch football. They don't make necessarily a big ruckus over the huge ones. It's how quickly they move those small few yards. You know, 2 yards here, 3 yards there. Next thing you know, they're down to a first down because they just covered 10 yards like that. Bada bing, bada boom. That's how we are with our Christian life. We might not go 50 yards on the first run. We might only go 2 yards. Then in the next play, God uses us something. We might go a little bit farther that time. Rejoice in the small victories because none of us are going to see perfection. None of us are going to be completely clean until we hit the other side of eternity when we're perfected, when we're given a new body in eternity with Jesus Christ. I hope this has been a blessing. Like I said, hopefully I didn't get too far off track. It's the Word of God that cleanses us and shows us what we should do, where we should go, and where we need to be.
Topic or verse? Well, before you get up here, you got to decide. All of them? You want a topic? Okay.
All right. I never make it out here tonight and nobody else.
That's true. That's true.
You going to tell us or are you going to make us guess?
Well, let me read it first. Eternal life.
Amen. Eternal life.
Well, yeah. Eternal life. That's a very important subject there. Because you're not going to get eternal life if you're not saved.
Right.
You want eternal life, you got to be saved. You need to praise God. And you need to do more for God because of eternal life. I mean, look what he did for us. He went to the cross, shed his blood, and rise from the dead. And he took all our punishment so we could have eternal life. Mm-hmm. And I just want to show you, because, you know, some people are going to get eternal life in the wrong place. They're going to get eternal life in hell. And let me just read this here. Going over to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, I want to start at verse 9. Okay, in Revelation 14, I'm going to start at verse 9. And what I'm going to read here is what's going to happen. Because you'll get, if you don't have faith in God, you're going to get eternal life in hell. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the practice of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, the faith of Jesus, the blessedness of the holy dead. And I hear, that's what this next part is about. And I hear a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yet saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their work do follow them. Now see, right there, you know, the first part is telling about if you take the mark, if we're here, I'm sure we won't be here if you're saved, but if you take the mark and you're not saved, and you take the mark in your hand or your forehead, you're going to spend eternal life in hell. Right. Eternal life in hell is not a place where you want to live. Right. And because you're going to be in pain and suffering. Amen. And look at the rich guy. When he went down there, he asked Luther if he could... he asked Jesus if Luther could get him a drop of water on his finger because he was so thirsty because he was in so much pain. Amen. Do you really want to live that way?
Amen.
No, I want my eternal life with God in heaven.
Amen.
You need to be saved.
Amen.
That's why I believe in God and I read my book every single day.
Amen.
Let's go over to Revelation 20. And chapter 10. This is just a little more on what God's going to do, because there is two internal ways. One's with God and one's with Satan. And I just want to show you how you've got a choice to make and you've got to have God in your heart. I mean, you can't just say the prayer and ask God to forgive you and expect to go to heaven. You really got to meet in your heart.
Yeah.
And if you meet it in your heart, you'll find out the Lord's yoke is very easy. I mean, he tells us that his yoke's very easy, and it is very easy. I mean, what's so hard about passing out a track? I pass out tracks. I've been slacking lately. I've been sinning. I've been slacking. But I usually enjoy giving out tracks. I have no problem giving them out. And I hope, pray God convicts me to do a better job and get handing out tracts again like I'm supposed to, because I have no problem telling people about God. And, okay, where was I? 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Is that the way you want to spend your lives?
No.
I don't think so. I sure don't want to spend my life that way. But because I believe in God, and I'm going to spend my day up in heaven with him, let's go to Revelation 21. I know, I always Every time I preach, this is my message. It's just a habit. God must put it there, or I wouldn't preach it. Revelation 21. Let me see where I want to start. Okay, I'll start right in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, that is a blessing. Amen. That's the way I want to spend my eternal life. No more pain, no more worries, no more passing out tracts, which is okay. But, you know, the Lord's going to take care of us. And all we'll have to do is pray and pray. That's the way I want to spend my eternal life.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for this time. And,
amen.
And I praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
Amen. It's a very good subject. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Amen. That was good. You guys did a great job.
Amen.
I was blessed.
Amen.
And we'll do this again sometime. Were you okay with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that you've done it this time, the next time you'll do it again?
Yeah.
Ah, you bunch of chickens. Bunch of chickens. Oh, please, no. We just wanted to do something different tonight. Let's all stand. We'll have an invitation. Maybe there was something said tonight by one of our preachers that prompted you to come. Maybe the Holy Spirit got a hold of you about something. You can come at this time. Judd made it very clear that there's a heaven and there's a hell. And there is eternity. And you're going to spend your eternity in one place or the other. It's either going to be heaven.